Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Pastaya Uttale Srimati Bhakti Vinam Pasamanitanam Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nivasesha Sunyavadi Prashkati Desutarane. Which canto of the Bhagavatam frightens you the most to read? 10th, really? Okay, anyone else? Divide that one in half. What were you thinking? 5th, yes. Well, I've just been writing on the 5th canto of the Bhagavatam. I've just, because I'm writing a summary of it, a detailed summary of it. So I've just spent the last year studying the 5th canto of the Bhagavatam, and also I wasn't sure how it was going to go, especially we become fearful when we think of the universe and how it's constructed. But as I studied it, I found it was actually so exciting. And I found that there is a hidden path through, this isn't what I'm going to be speaking about, by the way, but I'll get there. There's a hidden path, a hidden philosophical thread, basically through the whole 5th canto of the Bhagavatam. And if we keep on following that thread, we will arrive in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam through the 6th, 7th, and 8th, and 9th cantos. And so while I was studying it, I came across some prayers by the residents of Jambadweep. And the Jambadweep is the central section of Bhumandala. And there are, I think, 8 or 9 different varshas in Jambadweep. And one of them is, in it, there is the earth herself. And when the earth herself prays, she prays to Varahadev. And it's very interesting because Varahadev uplifted her. And there is something very wonderful and hope-giving about the idea that we're going to be uplifted. And Varahadev uplifted the earth from a very lower position, a dirty position in the Garbhadak Ocean. So I read this one prayer and of Mother Earth, and it was very, very striking. And that will lead to, I think, the essence of what everyone is talking about and what all the presentations are going to be, and the essence of what we're all doing here, why we've come into this increasingly warm and comfortable tent in the shelter of Giriraj Govardhan. And tomorrow you'll see something amazing. We could show you now, but tomorrow it'll even be more obvious. That curtain will lift on this side right over here. And then you'll see that Giriraj is actually there. And not only is he there when the curtain is open, but he's there even now. So imperceptibly or perceptively, we're being bathed in the sweet shelter of Giriraj continuously. So while we're in Vrindavan, and while we're sitting right here, as Maharaj was speaking of, and Jagatarini Mataji has emphasized, it's so important to use our time very wisely. And what is that wise use of time? This is what Bhumi Devi says, the earth says. I'll read Srila Prabhupada's translation, and you'll understand immediately what struck me if you listen very carefully. By manipulating a fire-generating stick, great saints and sages can bring forth the fire lying dormant within wood. In the same way, O Lord, those expert in understanding the absolute truth try to see you in everything, even their own bodies. Yet you remain concealed. They are not able to see you. You are not to be understood by indirect processes involving mental or physical activities. Krishna himself remains concealed. He is Swayam Prakash. He is self-manifesting. Because you are self-manifesting, so he's saying that if you have so much ability on the physical level, such as yoga or the jnana level, what to speak of the karma level, but on the jnana level, if you have such a subtle, developed intelligence that you can perceive the subtleties of existence, you will not be able to perceive Krishna. He remains concealed because that process doesn't inspire him to reveal himself. And the only way to get Krishna to reveal himself is when he desires to reveal himself. So because you are self-manifest, that you only manifest when you want to manifest, and here comes the part that I'm sure you'll be listening attentively, most attentively to hear. Because you are self-manifest only when you see that a person is wholeheartedly engaged in searching for you, do you reveal yourself. I will read that again. Because you are self-manifested, only when you see that a person is wholeheartedly engaged in searching for you, do you reveal yourself. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. Now, in Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse, his emphasis is on the search and the impossibility of finding him by these other processes, because Prabhupada, he is not shy about criticizing anything that does not reveal Krishna. It may be seen as wonderful through the eyes of a worldly person or a religious person, but if it doesn't bring surrender to Krishna, Prabhupada criticizes the process, and he criticizes the person, often calling them rascals. So that's what Prabhupada emphasizes in his purport. But Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur emphasizes the methodology of the search. So at this time, our request to you, all of our requests, including all the devotees who have worked so hard to construct the tent and decorate it and providing facilities as much as possible, is that we wholeheartedly search. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti used this time, it's 1 week. This is our request, that you, during this time, you wholeheartedly search for Krishna. And this is the perfect place, the perfect time to do so. The perfect time means the association of devotees in Vrindavan, especially by merciful Giriraj, and with monkeys often overhead. It's perfect. But how do we search? And that's what Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur discusses. He says, in his commentary on this sloka, learned people and devotees, by the mind, which is like a churning rod, who desire to see you in your form and in your names, such as Krishna and Rama, and your blackish or green manifestation, they can make you appear. Just as fire appears by repeated friction, they make you appear by repeatedly fixing your name and form in their minds. And that's the opportunity that happens here, because so many hours of the day, that's all that's going to be happening, there's just discussion about Krishna and chanting Krishna's holy names. So if we could make our minds subtle enough and desirous enough to simply reciprocate with the opportunity that we've come here to take, they make you appear by repeatedly fixing your name and form in their minds. This form remains hidden by performing karma and enjoying its results, but it can be seen by bhakti if it is not mixed with karma. Anya bilasita sanyam, jana kamana navrita, anakalena krishna. It just should be pure bhakti. Srila Jiva Goswami makes this point in Bhakti Sandarbha. It is that mixed misra bhakti that brings prema bhakti. Nitya sivasya bhavasya prakattam riddhi sadhyata. But bhava bhakti comes when sadhana is purely performed. That means that the activities are performed for the pleasure of Krishna. So the sadhana that we are performing here is the sadhana of hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna in different forms. So if we take that up with a simple desire to please Krishna, then Krishna will appear. That is what, when he so desires, because he's Swayam Prakash, he's self-manifesting. I offer respects to the Lord, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues, whose nature has been described, or to the Lord in whom there is effort for his form to manifest, or, so he's offering his respects, that's the other part of the verses, or, please listen, or they churn your form in their senses, such as hear as the ear and voice, using the mind, which hears and chants about the Lord's names, qualities, and pastimes. So we hear and then churn it by thinking about it, by offering things to the name's form, by being sincerely present. The mind wants to go to so many places, and it will visit the moon and back, and Loy Bazaar and back, and our home country, and our mothers and fathers and children's, and our fears. But churn it, churn that. But churn the mind in such a way that the Lord's form always remains there. Use your choice, use your freedom. That's a churning process. Use your prayers to churn Krishna's presence in the mind. Or they churn your form in the senses, such as hearing and voice using the mind, which hears and chants about the Lord's names, qualities, and pastimes. They make the Lord appear by determined practice of hearing and chanting using the mind, the material mind. Whatever we have, whoever we are, we use that to be present and to contain the topics within our mind. I thought that was very fascinating. And it tells what the process exactly is. It tells what our challenge is while being here. And to the degree we can do that, how wonderful it is. But that's not what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to be talking about the search, because what I've seen in through searching through the fifth canto, and also I had the fortune of studying the 15th chapter of the 10th canto through the words of the acharyas, the BBT translations, and I had the fortune of having a translation of the some discussions His Holiness Radhagovinda Maharaj gave, where he assimilated so many of the acharya's comments through his own very sweet taste and love for Vrindavan. So in the 15th chapter, it's so special, because in the 14th chapter, and then there's the 13th chapter, when Krishna's herding the calves, and then in the beginning of the 15th chapter, Krishna starts to herd the cows. He becomes a cowherd boy. And at that time, Krishna steps into the Vrindavan forest, the actual forest of Vrindavan, for the first time. So the Vrindavan forest, this is the fulfillment of all the entities of the Vrindavan forest's existence. So we will discuss this, and then what happens the first day that Krishna enters into the forest. And Prashanta Mataji has spoken about this topic too. And likes to become immersed in this specific 15th chapter. And also, I like it very, very much. There's so much variety in it, too. I'll tell you some of the topics. First, Krishna enters in, and we'll discuss how Krishna enters in, and through the Gopal Champu and Srila Jiva Goswami's very sweet explanation. And then he starts, in a very special way, an indirect way, he starts glorifying the forest reciprocation with him. And then he starts playing with his friends. And then they kill a demon named Dhanukasura, Balaram and Krishna. And then, after going out into the forest and performing these pastimes, they return to Vrindavan. And how the residents of Vrindavan greet them is described. They haven't seen Krishna for one whole day, and their hearts are breaking. Any moment they can't see Krishna, their hearts are breaking. For one whole day they haven't seen Krishna. And they're so full of separation for him. We don't have to tell them to turn their minds to fix Krishna in their minds. They are spontaneously and naturally only focused on Krishna. And then Krishna goes to sleep for a very, very short time. And then the chapter sort of ends, but the Kaliya Leela begins. Let's see how far we get at. Anyway, so my request is that you try to listen very carefully and try to be present in all, not just my class, certainly. Try to be present not only physically in each of the classes, but try to be mentally present with the mind and search for Krishna, and that's the topic of that I've chosen, searching for Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan. And search for Krishna and focus your mind in this search, and certainly he will reveal himself to you.